So the month of May is actually kind of unscripted with sermons. Erica and I both are preaching a couple of times, and so we're doing it without a sermon series to frame that. And since this is my next to last month, I've been thinking about what I wanted to share. So this week, I'm going to be preaching about hope, and next weekend, I'll be preaching about forgiveness, two very key things and things that bring me joy to talk about with you. And so this week will be one of my favorite Bible verses, passages, and I want to tell you that by the end of this service, you're going to have memorized Isaiah 40:31. So Dee, would you come and share these hopeful words for us?
Today's scripture reading is from Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall not run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of God for the people of God. Be to God.
June 30th will be my 35th wedding anniversary. Erica, what are y'all at? You just had fourth. All right, so I'm 31 years ahead of you. And so I'll share with Erica, but the rest of you too, I've got three reasons that I married Andy. One is that he is the man of my dreams. I'm in love with him. He's as cute now as he was 35 years ago, all that mushy stuff. And that is very real and true. The second one is so that he can kill things for me, most notably cockroaches. If there's a cockroach anywhere, I will scream and he can hear me from wherever he is. And he knows his job is to come and corner the cockroach, wait till I get out of earshot because I don't even like hearing the crunch, and then to dispatch said cockroach and promise me that he got that and that there are no other cockroaches around. Likewise, there's sometimes other things that need killing. One Sunday morning when our kids were little and I was headed out to church, we had a cat at the time before the allergies got too bad from Andy and the kids. And I opened up the door to let the cat in, and the cat scooted in, and he had something in his mouth that I quickly realized was a chipmunk, and so that was alive. And so the kids and I huddled in the bathroom with the door shut while Andy got the chipmunk. And unfortunately, the chipmunk was alive, but it was mortally wounded, and so not only did he have to catch said chipmunk, but he then had to dispatch it too. So those are two really good reasons to marry somebody. Man of dreams, love, all that, but then the ability to kill things is really a good thing to have too. And then there is a third reason, and it's a wonderful word that I just learned, and this is the word agnestis. And it does not relate to a skin condition. I want to tell you that right away. Does anybody know what this word means? If Galen Erickson were here, he might know what it is. So when you see Galen, call him out for not being in church today. It means this. It's a noun, the part of the back or backbone between the shoulder blades and the loins, which an animal cannot reach to scratch, and the part of the human back between the shoulder blades. That's your agnestis, the place that you can't reach to scratch. And my apologies, because probably all of you have itching agnestises right now, but now that you're thinking about where that spot is. And so I tell you that word not only because it's a really cool word that you now have in your vocabulary, but so that you can understand when I talk about hope, my hope for you is that hope is your agnestis. That hope is that itch that you can never fully scratch. That hope is that thing that you never really get rid of, that you always have with you. Because I believe hope is that thing that leads us forward. It may be our agnestis. You see, we are, if nothing else, a people of hope. And we're people of hope even when things seem hopeless. And the story of Easter, we talked about this just a couple of weeks ago. When the women came to the tomb, they didn't come with Easter lilies to celebrate Jesus' resurrection with him. They came with spices to prepare the dead body of their beloved friend and teacher that they had seen put to death. They were expecting nothing besides a corpse. And the disciples were not sitting around planning their Easter celebrations. No, they had begun to flee. They were headed back to go home, to figure out if they could get a fishing career together. They were still together, but they were making plans that had nothing to do with Jesus because they had watched him die. The few that had left, that stayed, most fled. And so Easter morning, nobody had any hope. Any hope that they had held on to was long gone. And the resurrection, this wonderful gift of hope, was a wonderful surprise to them. And we lose that sense of surprise because we know on Easter you put on your Easter best and you look for Easter eggs and you come to church and eat the ears off your chocolate bunny. But there were no chocolate bunnies that first Easter. There was no hope that first Easter. Things were tough. Things were tough, and yet hope emerged out of that. The prophet Isaiah, the scripture that we'll be memorizing shortly, spoke to people who knew exactly what that was. Isaiah was speaking to people who had lost everything that they'd held hope in. They'd lost their religion. They'd lost their land. They had lost their family. They'd lost their occupation, loss after loss after loss. No wonder Isaiah said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." Isaiah knew that they knew darkness. They were living in darkness. One of my favorite quotes from Martin Luther King Jr. is, "But I know somehow that only when it is dark enough can you see the stars." And that's true. There are just as many stars up in the sky right now as there were at midnight last night, but we just can't see them. In the darkness, you can see the stars. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. You see, to have hope doesn't mean that you've never had anything bad happen to you. It means even in the midst of the worst hard times, that there is a hope that there's something better ahead. That even when things are really tough, there's that itching between your shoulder blades you can't get to, and that's hope that's going to keep you going forward even when you're not sure if you can make it. That's what the prophet Isaiah was speaking about. He said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Isaiah did not say, "They that wait upon the Lord shall always have strength." No, if you're renewing your strength, you're renewing your strength because you have lost your strength. And for those who have lost their strength, your strength shall be renewed, revivified, really brought back to life again. If you've lost your strength, it will be brought back to life again. You shall renew your strength. You shall mount up with wings like eagles. Oh, bald eagles are an amazing bird, and they fly through Blue Springs sometimes. I've seen them over Lake Chicomo, and those huge wingspans, those soaring birds. And think of that imagery, because we have a promise that we will mount up with wings like eagles, that we will be able to soar, that's what hope can feel like, to get beyond this, to soar. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. So when I was in middle school and high school, I discovered that you could get out of PE if you did extracurricular sports. At the Lovett School in Atlanta, Georgia, PE consisted of field hockey in the fall, gymnastics in the winter, and tennis in the spring. Those were the three sports that we did for PE, and I was skilled at none of them. My apologies to the teacher of PE teachers who's sitting out there, Dr. Joyce Bailey, who's taught many PE teachers at UCM. You didn't teach mine because, man, that was all we did. Field hockey. Anyway, and so I needed to get out of that. And I discovered that if you did an extracurricular sport, you didn't have to do PE. And so I ran track because that didn't take skill, just one foot in front of the other. And most days I'm okay at doing that. And so I was a runner. Not a good one, but I was a runner. Well, one year, our PE coach decided that we needed to be pushed to the next level. Or maybe it was that she was embarrassed that she didn't have any runners going to state. And so it was actually the qualifying for the Georgia State PE track meet. What she did to get us into those meets was that she made up our times. And I think maybe she thought we would aspire to those times. Well, I could run without falling over, but I couldn't run very fast. And so she made up a time for me in the 880. Was now the 800 was the 880 yards back then. And so here I am running against people listed at a time that I've never come close to running. But it's my chance. And so the gun goes off and I start running. And the first lap, by golly, I am in first place. I've never been in first place in my life. This feels good. I'm running. It's looking great. My coach doesn't even bother to look up when I'm racing because nothing's going to happen. Well, I'm circling around. I still remember finishing the first lap, and she's looking at her clipboard, and she happens to look up, and she sees me. And I smile, and I wave at her. She looks shocked. Maybe it was the look of shock that I internalized, but the reality was that, well, I was out of gas. And so my pace slowed down. And the other runners, they picked up. And I remember thinking to myself, well, this isn't so bad. If one person passes me, I'll be in second place at least. And, well, if another person passes me, at least I'll be in third place. And they kept passing me so that I was in last place by the time I managed to get myself across the finish line. And my track coach looked back down and she didn't need to look up. So they that wait upon the Lord, they shall run and not be weary. Because there are times in our lives where all we can do to get through it is to run as fast as we can, to work to get through finals, theology finals and papers and stuff, finishing up college, that's a lot of work. And raising kids is a lot of work, and work is a lot of work, and getting ready for all the things that we have going on in our lives, it's work. And there are times where we have to run as fast as we can. And when we get so tired that we're not sure if we can go any farther, the words of Isaiah are right there. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. When you're walking through those tough times, those places that you never wanted to be, you can keep walking and you'll find your way to the other side of it. That's what hope looks like. And that's what we're given. Perhaps you have driven the overseas highway between Miami and Key West. In that part of the country, it's just island after island after island. And so putting together a road to drive from Miami to Key West was an engineering feat. Flagler tried to do it with the railroad, but they decided they were going to do it so that cars could drive that way. And so they were building it, and it took a lot of effort, but they were making progress. And then the Labor Day hurricane, I believe it was of 1934, came. It remains the strongest hurricane to ever hit U.S. soil. And the Labor Day hurricane blew through there. It totally destroyed every piece of that highway they had been working on. And the laborers that were down there, half of the population that lived between Miami and Key West were lost to this hurricane. Many of them literally lost, washed away as the ocean overran these string of barrier islands. And so afterwards, it was just devastation. And the man that was in charge of this highway project contacted the home office, described the great loss, said, "What should I do?" And the home office wired back just two words, "Go on. Go on." That's what hope looks like. When everything has been blown away, when all of your efforts are for nothing, go on. Because there will be strength. There, you'll be able to mount up with wings like eagles. You'll be able to run and not be weary. You'll be able to walk and not faint. You'll be able to go on one step at a time. That's what hope looks like, and that's what we have. And so what I want to give you today is the gift of knowing this verse, Isaiah 40:31, and you probably kind of know it because I've been talking about it already, but we learn best by singing. And so Alice is going to come back and Patty's going to play on piano. There's the song that I learned when I was in youth group, and because youth group has such long-lasting power. It does. You'll be teaching them songs. And so we're going to, here's what we're going to do. Eli is going to put the words up. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't do that. Okay, thank you. And then Alice is going to sing it through for us once. Then we're going to sing it with her three times with the words. And then we're going to sing it one more time without the words. And I want to give you a heads up. We're having communion. And then for our benediction, we're going to sing it together again without the words, because I really want you to be able to carry this Bible verse with you. Oh, and the words on the screen that I wrote say, help me, Lord, but it actually, are we going to do help? Okay, help me, Lord. Great. Help me, Lord, to wait. All right, here we go.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount
memorize scripture. We're going to sing it at the end also so that you can carry it with you. Will you pray with me? Oh God, give us the ability to keep hope even when things seem their most hopeless. Teach us to hope the way that you have given us so much hope. In your holy name we pray. Amen.